Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Braves, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. I am your host, Jake Mastriani. You can follow me on Twitter at ShortstopBall. Check out my bio there to see everywhere I am covering the game of baseball, including the Atlanta Braves, over at TomahawkTake.com. Also cover AA South for Prospects 1500 and the Birmingham Barons for Southside Sox. Also, make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at LockedOn_Braves and subscribe to the Locked On Braves podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And as always, appreciate everyone out here who is subscribed to the podcast, who subscribes to us on YouTube. I do appreciate that as well. We're getting really close to 500 subscribers on YouTube. We're also really close to 500 followers on Twitter, so appreciate all the support there. If you do listen to the channel and like what you hear, then please go out there and subscribe on YouTube and on Twitter as well. Talked about those comment sections. That's where I like to try to make this interactive show with you, the listeners. So that's a great place to have those conversations. So it's just not my voice you're hearing. You're hearing a lot of other great voices out there as well, talking about Major League Baseball, talking about the Atlanta Braves. And thanks for making Locked On Braves your first listen each and every day. Right now, posting episodes 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday through the rest of the off season. We'll pick up an everyday podcast once spring training begins, hopefully sometime in the middle to late February. But appreciate everybody who listens to the podcast. Appreciate all your support on the podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about the CBA negotiations. We've actually had some pretty good movement over the past week or so, and both sides met twice this week already and plan to do so once again. Also, an interesting article from Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic talking about Freddie Freeman, the Atlanta Braves, Matt Olson, and how things could be moving quickly once the lockout ends. So wanted to touch on that. And also we'll get into the Hall of Fame results. How close did Andrew Jones get? Will he get in? And who else was elected into the Hall of Fame, or who was elected into the Hall of Fame this time around? But I want to start out talking about the CBA negotiations that are going on, the collective bargaining agreement negotiations going on between Major League Baseball and Major League Baseball Players Association. The two sides met on Monday and Tuesday, which is great after they pretty much took a month and a half off once the lockout began on the beginning of December. And it was also in person, which to me was a very good sign as well. The two sides decided to get into a room together in person and to start hammering out some of these details. You know, the pressure is on here. We are quickly approaching spring training, what should be, hopefully will be, spring training. I hope both sides are starting to feel the pressure. We don't need a delayed spring training. Forget talking about delaying the regular season, which I think is, you know, no-brainer. That can't happen. But in my opinion, I don't think you can have a delayed spring training either. Again, we've already had two kind of weird seasons because of COVID. We had a lot of injuries last year, primarily to pitchers, because they're just trying to get back on a regular routine. So to mess that up again would be a huge detriment to the sport, to primarily pitchers who need, that's why spring training is so long, is for pitchers to get ramped up for a long 162-game regular season. So in my mind, they can't allow spring training to get delayed. There has to be a sense of urgency and pressure for both sides here to get a deal done. And I think you're starting to see that. The conversation Monday was described as heated, with owners threatening to cancel games, which I just said can happen. But, you know, owners can use that. They have that in their back pocket to cancel games and players don't get paid. Of course, they don't make money during that time, at least not from sports, not from their baseball teams. So, you know, they do have that in their back pocket that they can threaten that, but That was the tone of the conversations on Monday. But even still Monday, there was some good progress that was made, primarily from the players' point of view. The biggest news on Monday was that the players withdrew a proposal to allow players to of a certain age to become free agents sooner. You know, basically cutting out a year of arbitration based on where their age is, which I was kind of on board with. You know, I understand if a player is a late bloomer and, you know, they don't really break through until their mid to late 20s, and then they don't become a free agent until their early 30s, and they don't really get a big payday. That's, you know, I can understand that argument, but at the same time, I think cutting down arbitration years and allowing players to get to free agency sooner really is not going to help the competitiveness of the sport, because then you're just going to see small market teams have to trade away their top players earlier, and you're going to see them all go to large market teams, big market teams who can spend that money. So to me, that's not a great solution anyway. So makes a lot of sense that the players would take that off the table. I don't really think that was one they were willing to go to war over. But again, that was, you know, a pretty big talking point, a pretty big key part of the negotiation. So players took that off the table. Certainly a good step in the right direction there, I believe. That's also big news specifically for Braves fans with Max Fried, who still has 3 years of control under arbitration, even though he's been around for a while. So he's one where, you know, I don't necessarily think the Braves, you know, manipulated service time with him. I talked about it before. You know, his numbers in the minors didn't really warrant necessarily him being brought up when he did. But, you know, because of that, because he had a couple of years where, you know, he's pretty much just kind of brought up here and there as a reliever in certain roles, the Braves now have him for a while, locked up for a while. So it seems like that will continue to happen, and there will be no change in the length of the arbitration process. The union proposed to reduce the amount of money moving between teams for revenue sharing by about $30 million, which was much lower than their previous proposal, which was around $100 million. I read just before I started recording that the MLB has already rejected this. You know, this is for revenue sharing clubs, the amount of, you know, money they get to spend amongst, you know, their team or however they see fit. There's a pool of money, you know, divided up to those teams who qualify for revenue sharing. And the players want to reduce that significantly, obviously use that type of money for themselves. And, you know, MLB, the owners don't want to do that. So that was another proposal that was on, that was in the latest proposal from the players. And then on Tuesday, MLB proposed to raise the minimum player salary for players between 0 and 1 years to $615,000. That's $15,000 more than where it previously was. MLBPA had proposed $775,000. No change for 1 to 2 years in the owner's proposal. That still remains at $650,000. So hard to see them making a jump for 0 to 1 years to be more than 1 to 2 years. You would have to obviously adjust that out if you were going to make that change. And then 2 to 3 years, $700,000. So seems like there's progress there. I mean, that's still a pretty big gap, 615 to 775. You know, you kind of just split that in the middle. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, look, first-year players, they need to be getting paid more than what they are. It's been kind of stuck where it is for a while. That's one they'll go back and forth on. I don't really see that one being a huge issue. I think even owners recognize that the minimum for players in 0 to 1 years of service needs to be raised, really for all of those years of service needs to be raised. So that's one that'll get done. That's what a lot of people are considering a big topic. I don't consider it huge. I feel like that gets done pretty easily. They'll both go back and forth and end up meeting somewhere in the middle there. MLB agreed to, this is a new one here and a big one from the MLB side of things. The owners agreed to a pre-arb bonus pool. So this is for pre-arbitration eligible players. So that's first, you know, 3 years, unless they're super two, first 2 years. To have a pool of money for players who are some of the best players in the league in their pre-arbitration years in order for them to get more money, which is a great concept, a great idea. It's a great way for players who are getting paid minimum, the minimum league salary for them to earn the money that they're performing at. So I think it's a great idea, and MLB, is by their latest proposal, is on board with having that. However, both sides are very far off as far as how much money should be in that pool. The players propose $105 million. The owners propose $10 million. So, again, very far off in terms of money, but I think that's another one where you know they'll go back and forth, and they'll likely meet somewhere in the middle on that one. But I consider that to be good progress there as well on both of those as far as the salary for first-year players, the minimum salary of first-year players, as well as a bonus pool for those pre-arbitration eligible players. That's one of the biggest points for the players, is getting younger players paid more, and both of these solutions here will do that. And so I think they're both making progress there. Again, both sides giving in a little bit, and they'll continue to do so. It's how negotiations go, and they'll eventually, you know, meet somewhere in the middle. The big issues that remain, where there hasn't really been much movement yet, is the competitive balance tax thresholds. Players want to see that raised up to around $240 million and to see harsher penalties for teams who go over, while owners want to see it raised to around $210, $214 million. So again, still pretty far off there. Haven't heard much as far as the competitive balance tax threshold. So that's one that still has to be talked about and negotiated a lot. That's going to be a big one, maybe the biggest one. Also, the draft order, I don't see this one as a huge deal, but you know, players want to see some sort of motivation for teams, not just to tank, but teams that, you know, are in the bottom of the league to continue to try to compete. I think there'll be something done there. I'm okay with, you know, having a lottery for the top 3 to 5 picks, something like that. I think that would be good for the sport and add some entertainment value to the draft process as well. And then getting players paid sooner, again, one of the bigger issues. We talked about that one. It looks like there is some progress there as well for getting some of those pre-arbitration eligible players paid. Two sides are expected to meet again this week, but it's not expected to be on any of these major issues that I talked about. These would be some other smaller issues, but the two sides are meeting. The big thing for me, the two sides are meeting. The two sides are starting to give in a little bit. While there's still a long way to go, I understand, but both sides are making progress. This is a good sign for me. Here we are, January 26th. This is when I was hoping a deal would be done by now, so that we knew that spring training would be done on time, but it does seem like there's beginning to be a sense of urgency from both sides. Again, you're starting to see a little bit of give and take for both sides, so it's all just a matter of time now, getting together, continue to negotiate, and my prediction is we'll have a deal within the next 2 weeks. If we don't have a deal within the next 2 weeks, I'm going to really be upset, and I'm going to start getting really worried as far as spring training goes. Again, I'm on board. I don't think spring training needs to be delayed at all, but hopefully the two sides continue to meet like this, you know, regularly, no more long breaks. Time is now, can't wait any longer. And again, I hope both sides are starting to understand that, realize that, you know, they waited as long as they could, backs are up against the wall. Let's get something done for the good of the sport, please. All right, next we're going to talk about some Freddie Freeman. I don't want to say news, but just Freddie Freeman topics going on and trending out there that could be happening pretty soon as the CBA is done. It's a new year, so that means New Year's resolutions. If yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure you include a Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar makes it easier to stick to your resolution because it tastes so good you will want to eat them. Unlike other protein bars out there, which can be chalky or waxy or taste like a chemical spill, you want to eat healthy, but it just gets so boring. By now, you're probably thinking, where is the chocolate? Well, Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. Most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which usually has around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. So here's an idea for the new year. Go out to all your secret stashes. Replace those candy bars and that junk candy with a Built Bar, which tastes great and are healthy for you as well. So right now, go to built.com, use our promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. Again, that's LOCKED15 at built.com for 15% off your order. All right, so there's been a number of articles written during this lockout pertaining to Freddie Freeman. I think it's one of the more fascinating stories during the lockout, during the offseason, is what is going to happen with Freddie Freeman. Obviously biased here as a Braves fan and somebody who's eating up every single article put out by Freddie Freeman. But Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic put out an article this past week talking about how it would behoove both parties involved, the Braves and Freddie Freeman, to move quickly once the lockout begins, which I think is going to happen regardless. I think there's going to be a frenzy of moves from everybody once the lockout is lifted. But it's almost the way Ken writes it, it makes sense to me, is that it's almost like who blinks first in this scenario. You know, does Freddie Freeman go out and really start entertaining other offers from other teams and force the Braves to make a move? Or do the Braves really go out to the Athletics and really start getting heavy into trade discussions with Matt Olson, putting the pressure on Freddie Freeman? Because the Braves lose leverage in trade discussions once Freddie Freeman signs elsewhere. You know, if Freddie Freeman signs elsewhere, Matt Olson is the only choice. Or I shouldn't say he's not the only choice. I guess Anthony Rizzo would be an option there as well. But Matt Olson's the only one that could potentially replace what Freddie Freeman gives you production-wise. So once Freddie Freeman signs elsewhere, the A's know, you know, the Braves have to have Matt Olson if they have chances of or dreams of repeating. So that's that side of it. Also, Freeman would lose leverage if the Braves went out and found somebody else, if they went out and found his replacement, if they went ahead and traded for Matt Olson, or if they went ahead and signed Anthony Rizzo. Freddie Freeman loses a lot of leverage there because then his main suitor comes off the board. So, you know, it's really, and I hate it's come down to this between the two sides of who's gonna blink first, who's gonna budge first, and does one side try to put pressure on the other? You know, the Braves, again, if they don't get Freddie Freeman, I think their only real option is Matt Olson. I know there's thoughts of maybe moving Austin Riley to first base, signing Chris Bryant. I don't really love that. I don't really want to mess with Austin Riley. But, you know, again, I've said it over and over throughout the offseason, this lockout. I just hope the two sides get it done. I hope they've thought long and hard about it through this lockout. Ken Rosenthal mentioned 6 years, 165, which if that is a deal, you know, sign it now. Get it done. Also mentioned you could do 7 years, 180 if you wanted to spread out the AAV and have a smaller, you know, average annual salary over the length of that contract. You know, I could kind of get on board with that as well. Look, I want Freddie Freeman on my team. I've said it several times. Get 6-160, 7-180, whatever you want it to be. I think that's what it's going to take to get it done. I don't really worry about Freddie long-term. Rosenthal mentioned in the articles, you know, contracts like Albert Pujols, Miguel Cabrera, you know, those types of deals haven't really worked out long-term, but I still believe Freddie Freeman's going to be a very good player for the next 3 or 4 years, and I think the Braves have a chance to win another World Series in the next 3 to 4 years. So if that happens with Freddie Freeman, you know, I can live with the last 3 or 4 years of that contract maybe being a money pit, which I don't think they will be, but again, I can live with that, knowing the window for the Braves to win a championship is now. Their chances are better with Freddie Freeman on this team. Rosenthal also notes, you know, Freddie means more to this team than, you know, just what he does on the field. You know, maybe you replace that production on the field with Matt Olson, but there's so many intangibles that come along with Freddie Freeman, which I've talked about on here a ton, that, you know, you just can't put a price on. So you have that added in there as well. You know, he mentions other teams that could get involved, or the Dodgers, Blue Jays, Yankees. You know, unfortunately, Freddie just doesn't have, you know, a great market right now. And I think that's playing into the Braves' favor a little bit. Plus, the Braves know Freddie wants to come back. They know he wants to be in Atlanta. I think they're playing that as well, which is honestly just unfortunate for Freddie Freeman, but I believe things will work out. I believe a deal gets done. And really my main takeaway from the Rosenthal article is that I think it gets done soon. And again, maybe that's just optimistic thinking on my part, but I'm thinking days within this lockout being lifted, Freddie Freeman and the Braves will get a deal done. But as he notes in the article, we thought that last offseason, last spring training, November of this past year, and it still didn't happen. So who knows at this point, but either way, once the lockout's lifted, we should get an answer pretty soon on Freddie Freeman. All right, take one more break, come back and do the talk about the Hall of Fame results. BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website, so sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2022 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. So the Hall of Fame results came out on Tuesday, and as a lot of us thought, David Ortiz was the only one to get in. Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens just missed out, and they do fall off the ballot. It was their 10th year on the ballot. They will be eligible again this winter with the ERA committee, which a lot of people are thinking they may get a lot of push there. One thing great for Braves fans is somebody getting a lot of push to get in with that ERA committee is Fred McGriff. A lot of people thinking that McGriff will finally get in once that ERA committee votes this December. So certainly great news for Braves fans. I think we're finally going to see Fred McGriff get in. It seems like that is where all the talk is trending right now, that McGriff would be a prime candidate on that ballot. Andrew Jones finished just outside this time around, did get a significant boost up to 41%. He was at 33.9% last year, so again, almost a 10% increase. And you go back to his first year on the ballot, which I cannot understand why he was ever this low, but he got 7.3 and 7.5% in his first 2 years on the ballot, has since gone up to 19%, 34%, and now 41%. So he is moving up significantly. I think people are starting to recognize more and more just how great Andrew Jones was defensively, the best defensive center fielder of all time. He has 5 years left on the ballot now. Like I said, he has been trending in the right direction. So will he get in? Let me know on Twitter if you think he'll get in over the last 5 years. As far as the results for the Hall of Fame, look, I've let my feelings be known on it. I don't really like voting for suspected steroid users. I understand the argument for David Ortiz, who was on a report in 2003. There was also discrepancies with that report as far as false positives. He never tested negative after that when testing was fully being enforced. So I can go either way on David Ortiz. Understand it. He is the best DH that the game has ever seen. So, you know, I can understand him getting in. It wasn't overwhelming for him. I think he was around 81%, but he does get in. I will say this, and was having a good conversation on Twitter with some good followers, some listeners on there, and Paul at Brave Stats on Twitter, as well as Steve Lamb. Look, I don't envy these voters at all. It's not an easy time to be a voter with, you know, everything that's happened from the steroid era to now. There's just a lot that goes into the Hall of Fame doesn't give the voters great direction on how to vote. So I'm hoping we get through the steroid era. Now A-Rod's first year on it, so we're going to have it for another 9 years at least. But once we get through there and you get those names off the ballot, I'm hoping that the voting can kind of calm down a little bit. But, you know, the one thing is, you know, people love Major League Baseball. They love the Hall of Fame, and that's why this is such a hot-button topic, because it means so much to a lot of us as fans, because it is such an exclusive group of players. You know, it's very rare. I mean, it's not like the other Hall of Fames. I don't even pay attention to the NBA or NFL Hall of Fames, where just seemingly everybody gets in. Like, that means nothing to me. But the MLB Hall of Fame it means something. It's special. It's a special group of players. It's hard to get in. It should be hard to get in. So that's why people are so passionate about it. Fans will continue to be passionate about it because they love it so much and respect it so much, what being a Hall of Fame member means. So congratulations to David Ortiz. Again, hopefully Andrew Jones continues to get some love. Hopefully Fred McGriff gets in this December on that era committee vote. But that will do it for this episode of Locked On Braves. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @LockedOn_Braves. You can follow me at @ShortstopBall. Also, make sure you subscribe to the Locked On Braves podcast, wherever you get your podcast. And we will talk to you next time.
Hey, this is Stacey Gottsoulias,
DC Lundberg,
Ryan Finkelstein,
Taylor Blake Ward,
host of Locked On Yankees,
Locked On Mariners,
Locked On Mets,
Locked On Angels,
and you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.